And we are both originally from Nigeria. And, yeah, some Nigerians, so probably non-Nigerians, but excited. Thank you. Thank you. So I got to the United States about 13 years ago, and my wife has been in the U.S. about
21 years.
So she's a senior, a more senior citizen than I am, you know. and we've been married for 7 years. It's been a wonderful marriage, you know. It's just been a wonderful time getting to know each other and grow into oneness. We're both in the biopharmaceutical industry as career-wise, you know. Amen.
Awesome. I want to interject here. Both in the biopharmaceutical industry, what does that mean? You, both of you, like, I know you guys are both in research. Now, how does that work? Anybody wants to hear a little more about that? What do you guys actually do? Okay. What does biopharmaceutical industry mean? What do you guys actually, when you wake up on Monday morning, what are you doing at 9 a.m. or 10 a.m.?
Okay. You want to go?
Yeah, sure. For me, my background is in biochemistry and molecular biology, and I actually did not like it while I was in college, but it's pretty awesome now. What I do is pretty much take whatever programs that we have in our pipeline and then make sure that all the data that comes out of it looks really nice when we go for FDA filing. So that's it.
So from my perspective, it's more of, so it's just this aspect of science that deals with drug discovery. So just finding out new drugs. So all those weird names you hear out there, and you know, it's kind of part of what we do. Eventually, if it works out great, the drugs are out there, you know. So it's more into the aspect of just doing a lot of optimization tests on compounds that could eventually be drugs to cure cancer. Most of it is in the area of cancer.
And what cancer, she does, yes. Multiple, immunology. Yeah.
Wow. So IMPACT, what they're saying is that they're smart people. Juan, can you bring me a dictionary, brother? Help me out. They are smart people. Wow. That is some cool stuff. How humble are these people? They come here, they serve, amen, faithfully, show up on time and just serve, but they do so much incredible stuff. And I love the fact that you're such a prayer warrior, but at the same time, you're in the lab trying to research and find medication for cancer. Amen. That's incredible.
Amen.
IMPACT Church, I want to give you permission to study. You have permission to study. As Christians, you can study and do all you want and conquer the world there. Amen.
Amen.
It's very spiritual to do that. Amen. Incredible. Man, good stuff. Good stuff. Now, let's tell your story. Of course, we've known you guys. My wife, Misha, and I have known Femi and Shayo for a while. We were at our previous church together, and we were actually the only two couples that were sent out from that church to plant this church, of course, with a blessing, and they've supported us even financially. So we've known you guys for a while, and you guys went through a season where you were believing God for a baby for a long time, for a very long time. And you know what was interesting was that when they were believing God for a baby in the season, my wife and I, we were having all these babies. We were just popping them out left and right, you know. just pop, you know. But these guys, as friends, I'll tell you this, as friends, their joy for us and their countenance, they celebrated us every time. There were times where it was even a little tough to, oh man, we're pregnant again. Pregnant again. What are we going to say? But every time they were hopeful and they were true friends and they were believing God and they were pressing through. So let's jump into that. What was that like? Because I know there are people in a room like this that are going through stuff, going through different kinds of challenges. Their challenge was struggling to have a baby for a long time, and that was a difficult thing. Let's just jump right into that.
Okay. So we're married now, 7 years, growing strong. The first couple of years, so we were like, let's build a marital foundation with our first or second year, you know, before we have babies coming, before they kind of interrupt us. So, you know, let's just extend our honeymoon. So, you know, so we did that, you know, a year, and I think pretty much second year, we're like, all right, you know, I think we're good. And first year came, we did everything we're supposed to do, you know. The first year was okay, you know, it happens, you know. So the second year was quite challenging, like, what's going on, God, you know. In the midst of everything, so it's something that is kind of common. You know, we noticed some of our friends too had the same thing going on too with them. So we got into prayer, you know, also for the people we knew. We're praying for about six people, yeah, about six, yeah, different couples, mm-hmm, you know, at the same time. So, and then just one by one, God just answered their prayers right before our eyes. You know, maybe you want to take it from here.
Yeah, so we literally made a list of people that we wanted to pray for that was going through the same thing, you know, believing God for children. And one by one, like, we saw God answer everyone's, answer the prayer. And it got to a point where we were the only one left. And I think that was when, at least for me, like, it really hit me, like, what's going on here, you know? I think, like, the first, like, early on, it was, like, good to, you know, be strong in faith. But after a while, it started to really weigh on me. It started to weigh on us that this is, I think, more serious than we thought.
And I think just thinking about, you know, just reminiscing now, it's like you're praying for people, and then all of a sudden, hey, it's happened, and then we're there, like, celebrating with them, genuinely celebrating with them, because we're praying for them as well. And but then it happened for everyone on the list. So we're like, God, you know, how about us too, you know? Yes. Yeah. Do something here, you know. And that was where. So this happened for, can you imagine, this happened for the next about 5 years of our lives, yeah, you know. So it was a long period of time. And coming from Africa, there are some African women don't joke with no babies. Yes. They put some good pressure, African pressure on you, yeah, to have babies, you know. And so they were on us. Some people were understanding, and some people were more like really persistent. What's going on, you know? So that added more pressure on us, you know. But we kept praying and trusting God. From my end, I did feel a little, you know, at some point, just really down, you know, like, okay. I mean, we've prayed, I fasted. At that point, I was not exaggerating here. I did fast at least once a day every week. I changed it to one day in a week. Then I changed it to 2 days in a week. Then I changed it to 3 days in a week.
Yep.
I did 3 days in a week for about 6 months, you know, just fasting. And just really trusting God, you know. Eventually, I brought it back down to one. Like, I don't want this thing to kill me, you know. You know. So I brought it back down to Fridays. I've been doing it for a long time now, still doing it, you know. So it's been the journey where we just really felt like a lot. We felt down times, encouraged one another, cried and all of that in the season. You know, what do you do when you trust in God and just is happening for people? I mean, our pastors were popping them, like, you know. You know, and not just them, but we had people. I had a co-worker who was not looking for kids at all. And she had two kids and she was done. And then the third one came, she was crying. I'm like, wow, you know, God, really? You know, you know, you know. And then about 2 years after, the same co-worker came and crying again. I'm like, what happened? Like, we're expecting twins this time. Now crying, and even said before me, saying, wow, you know, God, why me? You know, I'm thinking, wow, me too, why me too, you know? You know, amen.
Yeah, I think for me, I wasn't probably as spiritual fasting 3 times a week. It was actually really tough for me to go into prayer. And I love to pray. I love just relating and communing with God. But it was really tough because I felt God was distant. And I would pray about almost anything else. But when I got to praying about us having children, it was just tough because I felt like he wasn't listening. And I felt like, you know, I just wasn't getting a response. But every time I prayed about peace for the situation or I prayed about grace, he gave me that. But anytime I prayed about, okay, you know, what about this child and when are we going to have it? Like, it was just silent. And I would always ask, you know, God, why? And for some reason, like, he will send different people into my life at that time that would encourage me. And Michelle was one of those people. Like, I remember one day I was literally just pouring out my heart to her, and she all she said was, Shia, you know, in God's time. And I held on to that. I stayed away from anyone that was negative or that would make me anxious or worry about that situation. And I mean stayed away. Like, even some people in my family, because it got really tough. Like, I had people that would call me crying. And I'm like, are you, like, why are you crying? Like, are you serious? Like, I need someone to stand in faith with me. Like, so, like, I would see some people calling, and I'll be like, I don't think so. Like, and I'll just put the phone down. Because there were months where it was really tough. Like, every month was, like an emotional roller coaster. And I'm like, okay, I don't need certain people adding to my anxiety, but I need someone to stand in faith with me. And I learned that that's okay. You know, I don't want a pity party. I want someone that's gonna, you know, be faithful in praying with us. So,
wow, yeah. That's so good. Amen. Wow, let's stop here. Put our hands together. Wow. 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 What's amazing is that Femi was the one who was praying, 3 days fasting. Yo, Nigerians know how to pray, by the way. Just a little disclaimer. But for her, I want you to know that for her, it was different, and that's okay. That's okay. He's not any better than her. It's okay that she was crying out to God in a different way. And I just feel like encouraging somebody here who feels like maybe I feel distant from God. I'm not praying as much as I should in a season like this. I want you to know that you are his girl. You are his son. You are his daughter. He cares for you. My kids don't have to come to me and say, Daddy, Daddy, Daddy. I care for them whether they say that or not. I go and look at them when they're sleeping at night, and I just stare at them, and I just pray for them. You are his child. Amen. Wow, this is awesome. This is awesome. What else?
Okay, even as Shia was saying earlier, like, every month was an emotional roller coaster, for real. We were in Six Flags every month, you know. And I tell you, because every month when we're, like, it's almost like, oh, you know, it's going to happen, it's going to happen, it's going to happen. And then, oh, you know, can you imagine going through that 12 months a year for about 5 years, you know? Just that could just make you give up. In the midst of everything, at the time I was a worship leader, and I had to come out and encourage people in worship while going through my own, you know, time of just waiting on God, you know. And so it was tough. It was tough, you know. You have to encourage people while you even yourself need encouragement, you know. And so we encouraged one another. We stayed strong. We got to a point where even when people usually, so at this point, you know, you could tell people, oh, no, we're just on honeymoon stage for 2 years. But now when it's 4 years, you can't use that excuse. So everybody knows what's going on, you know. And so sometimes when we go for, like, morning prayer at somewhere at the church where we were before, we go pray in the morning, people around us praying with us say, this year, it's your year, you know. And they said, twins, actually. I'm like, at some point, I got really tired of it. You know, I'm like, you know, okay, thank you, you know. Because we've had so many years where we've been promised, you know, by people and nothing is going on, you know, nothing is happening. And so we had really tough moments, you know, in the entire process, you know.
Yeah, we went to seek medical help. And at first we weren't sure about that as Christians because I think we, or at least, you know, for me, I believe that, oh, you know, if you do that, then you're not strong in faith. So that's what I was believing. But I think we spoke to someone that kind of let us know that that's actually okay. And so we went to seek medical, thank you, medical advice. And we ended up seeing, what, three doctors that said, there's nothing wrong with you guys. And we're like, oh, okay. But that even created more pressure because then if there's nothing wrong with us, then what's going on?
And the third doctor we saw, you know, they ran all sorts of tests, you know, just to make sure everything is going, the engines are working well, everything, you know. Everything. All right.
These are Nigerian engines, baby. They're serious.
And the doctor said everything, all your results from both of you guys are excellent, you know, and that scares him. Because in their profession, they want to see something wrong. Because that's what they do. They fix problems. And in this case, there's no problem to fix. You guys are good. Why you're not having kids, we don't know.
So let's take the turnaround here. So what happened?
Okay.
Where was the turnaround? What happened? We have just a little bit of time.
Oh, wow. So God's timing is perfect, you know. God's timing is
amen.
Perfect. Yes. Amen. 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 Amen.
Come on, yeah.
Amen. Just really, so I'll just keep it in a nutshell. After trying and doing everything, just 1 month just went by, and it's like, what's going on? It looks like this is promising here. Usually I used to tell Shia, please just let it go longer before we start thinking it's something positive. And in 1 month, we did the pregnancy test, and this time, positive.
Hey! Amen! Woohoo! Yeah, yeah. Now, there's a detail there. You said, usually, I used to let it go longer.
Yeah.
So, there's a detail there. Were you guys pregnant before?
Well, actually, what I meant by that was, we're always when you know, we don't get like the regular cycle for a little while. Yep. That's what I meant by that. And then, so we're always like, she quickly gets excited. So, but then it becomes, so we always get discouraged every time we think something is going on. Wow. And then it turns out not to be something. So at that point, I'm like, let's just let this thing go for a long time before we think something is happening.
Amen. Come on, let's celebrate Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, let's meet David.
David.
Would you guys like to meet David? Come on. Somebody celebrate this awesome baby. Hallelujah. Hey!
Here woo-hoo. Comes David.
Awesome. Come on, let's celebrate what God has done here. Years of praying and trusting God. Our God is a miracle worker. Amen. Awesome. Let's appreciate the Adadujis. Thank you, Jesus. Thanks for sharing your story with us. Amen. An impact today. We're going to pray for everybody that's believing God for babies in this place. We're going to command every barren womb to open up in the name of Jesus. Somebody say amen. Impact, I'm going to take 10 minutes here and just share a little bit about creating space for a miracle. Creating space for a miracle. Somebody say, creating space for a miracle. One more time, say, creating space for a miracle. Let's turn our Bibles to the book of 2 Kings chapter 4, 3-7. 2 Kings chapter 4, 3-7. And we're going to read this scripture together. Here we go. 1-3, go. Took the jars to her. Go sell the oil and pay what you owe, you and your son. Wonderful. I'm going to explain this text in a little while. About 25 years ago, my father felt impressed upon the Lord to build a sanctuary. He felt like God was speaking to him to build a large church. Now, for some of you, you know, I come from the third poorest country in the world, so you don't really build buildings like that. And God spoke to my father to build a sanctuary that would seat 4,000 people. Now, that's crazy. Because of where I come from, this building literally cost $5 million. But God spoke to my father. And I'll never forget the day when my father started going to the government to tell them there was a piece of land that he saw, and it was owned by the government. And he went to them and said, I want this land. God is telling me that I'll build a house of God in this place. And the government was like, you're crazy. This is government land. We wouldn't even give this land to businesses, let alone give it to a church. You've got to be crazy. But my father was like, God told me I'm going to build a building here. You've got to give it to me. Well, long story short, one of the guys who was in charge of this particular land said, you've got 30 days. I'm giving you permission. You can get this land, but you only have 30 days. Now, this was my crazy father over there. After the government said, you can put the picture down for now. They put it a little bit too early. The queue is a little too fast there. Well, my father went to these guys, and yet again they told him, you've got 30 days. Somebody say 30 days to come up with the money. And we were celebrating. Yeah, we can get the land. We can actually buy the land. But there was just one problem. My father didn't have the money. And so 30 days, my father's like, stop praying, guys. We need to pray. We're praying day 10, no money. Day 20, no money. But on the 27th day, my father prayed for a lady whose husband was dying with cancer, and God healed this husband instantly. So on the 29th day, the lady calls my father and says, I want to give you money. And my father says, no, don't do that. I'm an evangelist. I'm a preacher. You don't have to pay me for doing what I did. I don't do it for money. But she insisted. She said, I'm not taking no for an answer. I have to give you this money. And she mentions the amount of money. And for a moment, my dad stops because it was the same exact amount of money that the government said they needed for the land. So he went and picked it up on the 29th day. Yes, let's put our hands together for Jesus. Woohoo! He went and picked up the money, and on the 30th day, somebody shout 30. On the 30th day, just before 5 p.m., he walked into that office, presented that money, and we got that piece of land. Hallelujah. You can show the land again. Now, this was my father when we were standing on the land. And by the way, we spent all the money we had to buy the piece of land. We didn't have any money to build. But he was standing there showing us, there's going to be a sanctuary over there. We're going to put an orphanage over there. We're going to put this over there. The guy was celebrating. He was singing, we'll bring a sacrifice of praise. Come on, clap, sing, worship somebody. Hey, God is moving. And I'm standing there as a kid, and I'm like, how in the world are we going to buy this building? You can't even give me money for sneakers. I wanted sneakers last month. You said you didn't have the money. How in the world are we going to do all this? Somebody said, create space for a miracle. And now years later, show that other picture. Years later, there's a sanctuary there. Sits 4,000. Show the other picture. That's the other side. You can see it, that building stretches all the way there, and there's all this land there. There's farmland, and up there, there's an orphanage. There's just so much there because God moved in this place. Can I give you a tweet? If you are willing to create space for God to move, he will show up and work a miracle. That's what my father did. He had no money, but he went to the government and made a demand. I need this land. I need this space. And then he went again and said, we're going to build here. And there was space there to build. Here's one thing I want you to know is that that land was sitting there for 7 years before we could build anything. And people were laughing at my father. Is there a church that's ever going to resurrect in this place? What's going to happen? Is there anything that's ever going to happen? In the scripture that we just read here, there was a lady who was widowed. She lost her husband. And after she had just buried the husband, after the funeral, she went home. And sadly, her husband had owed some people some money. And so the debt collectors came and said, we're going to take your two sons away so they can come work for us and pay the debt. Can you just imagine? She's widowed. She's sad. She just buried her husband. And they're coming to take her sons. So she went to the prophet and said, I'm in trouble. I need help. Let me just stop here and say something. I hope that when the day of trouble comes to your life, that you have a man of God and that you have a church that you can reach out to. We live in a day and age that has no church affiliations whatsoever, and it's sad. Back in the days, people would run to the house of God. Now we're in a time where it's so acceptable to not even go to the house of God. I want you to know that life on earth, you will go through some troubles. There are people who are going through troubles right now in this room. There are people who just got out of going through some troubles. And there's somebody in this place who's saying, no, I'm not going through anything right now. Didn't go through anything yesterday. Well, just keep on living. Your time is coming. Well, it's just what it is. Life on earth, we will go through stuff. But my hope is that when you go through something, that you have a man of God in your life, you have a prophet of God in your life, and you have a church that knows how to pray that you can run to. Somebody say amen. So she runs to the prophet, and the prophet says to her, what do you have? What do you have? Please turn to your neighbor and ask them, what do you have? She says, I'm in trouble. I need help. They're here to take my sons. And the prophet says, what do you have? What do you have? And then she says, I just have just a little bit of oil. Just a little bit of oil. That's all I have. I just have a jar of oil. Impact, I want you to know that God has given you a gift. God has put some special things inside of you. Many of us in this place are looking down on what we have. I want to encourage you just one time that God has put a gift inside of you. You are victorious. You can do great things for Jesus because God has put something inside of you. Whether it's small or not, I want you to know that that one thing can be used by God to do something great. If you believe that, somebody say amen. Now, here's a story. Long story short. Here's a story. The prophet said, go and borrow as many jars as possible, as many empty containers as possible. Go and borrow them. And then go back home and close the door behind you and just begin to take that little oil and just begin to pour it into these empty containers. Just begin to do that. Just begin to do that. And here's the end of the story. As long as she had empty jars, as long as she had empty containers, that oil kept flowing. Ha, this excites me. I'm going to say that again. As long as she had empty containers, the oil never stopped. Ah, you missed a good place to say amen. As long as she had more empty containers, the oil never stopped. But what fascinates me is that as long as those empty containers ended, as long as they were finished, the oil stopped. The oil stopped. Impact, I'm about to give you a recipe for faith. I come from a heritage of faith, and I'm about to release a family recipe in this place. I want you to know that what this lady was doing by getting these containers was that she was creating space for a miracle. And if you create space for a miracle, God will come through every time. He will come and he will fill up the thing. And he filled up these containers, and a miracle happened because she created space for a miracle. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, create space for a miracle. One more time, create space for a miracle. If you're willing to make a demand on heaven and create space for a miracle, he will come and work that miracle in the name of Jesus. That's what my father did. He went and bought this piece of land, acres upon acres of land, and said, God, I want you to do something with this piece of land. Now, I'll tell you this. When you begin to create that space, people will laugh at you. You're going to have to wait a little bit. I've seen that. I've done that over and over. People were laughing at my father. Here's one thing I didn't tell you. My father got a little bit of money, and then he built a foundation, a huge foundation to seat 4,000 people, 5,000 people. In that foundation, there was a slab there for years. People used to drive by and say, is there ever going to be a building in this place? People will laugh at you. But I promise you this, Impact Church, if you're willing to create space for a miracle, if you're willing to be foolish enough and say, God, I'm going to create space for a miracle, he will show up and he'll perform that miracle in the name of Jesus. Somebody shout hallelujah. I've done this so many times in my life, over and over and over. You've heard my story. My wife and I had a wonderful salary where we used to be, and God began to speak to us about this church. Talk about walking away from a salary when you've got a beautiful wife and four African kids who can eat. But God said, you need to walk away. And I had to go and tell my pastor, God is saying this to me. I have to transition. I didn't know where I was going to get the money. Didn't know where we were going to stay. But it was creating space for a miracle. Came in this place and began to ask the principals here to give us this place. Creating space for a miracle. Now fast forward 1 year and 7 months later. Look at this place. It's packed with people. We're going to two services next week because we created space for a miracle. I promise you, if you dare create space for a miracle, he will come and he will perform the miracle. Come on, somebody say a good hallelujah. Yeah. Create space for a miracle. Some of you know that we led a ministry called United Night of Worship 7 years ago. Now, here's a picture. Please show that picture. I went into this auditorium that sat 8,000 people. Look at that. Somebody say, wow. Say it backwards. I sat in this auditorium believing God to do an out of worship. Now, I'll tell you, I was shaking. I was scared. Are the people going to come? What's going to happen? And they told me, Zenzel, you can't take this place. You can't book this place unless you give us $10,000. Somebody say $10,000. Now, my wife and I had $10,000 that we had saved for a long time to buy a house. She looked at me, I looked at her, I said, you're crazy enough to do this? She said, man, African boy, I'm crazy enough to do this. We took that $10,000 and we put it down. They told us, you've got to know this now. If you don't raise the other amount of money, now it costs us $125,000 to do a meeting in this place. They told us, if you don't come up with the $115,000, you lose your $10,000. That's what we call creating space for a miracle. We prayed. We said, okay, we're putting it down. We're putting it down. We put that money there. We began to believe God. And just a few months later, 9 months later, God worked a miracle. We saw 8,000 people filled in that place. Come on, somebody shout a good hallelujah. Oh, come on, somebody say hallelujah. We saw 8,000 people packed in that place, sent away some 200-300 people because there was no empty seats. That's what we call creating space for a miracle. I promise you, if you dare create space for a miracle, put God on the spot. And if you're willing to be foolish enough to be laughed at and wait, God will show up and work a miracle. Work a miracle. You see anywhere in the Bible where there's a miracle and there's a verb, there's something that they had to do in order to create space for a miracle. You talk about any miracle whatsoever. Abraham, you want to do great things? God says, get up in the morning and begin to go. Go where? To a place you don't even know. Just get up and go. I want you to know that God is like a GPS. A GPS will not direct you unless you're moving. Somebody say amen. African brother, you're preaching good. Got to encourage myself. And, hey, amen, brother, amen. Yes, sir. You create space for a miracle and God will show up. Moses, there's a Red Sea in front of you. What do you have? It's just a stick. How much money does it cost to buy a stick? Zero, but God used it to create a miracle. There's a story in the Bible, Acts chapter 3, where Peter and his friend saw a man standing at a gate called Beautiful. He says, silver and gold have I none, but what I have I'll give to you. Rise up and walk. And the Bible says, he prays, right? He prays. But the miracle doesn't happen until the Bible says, grabbing him by the hands, lifting him up, the man began to walk. You have to pray, but then you have to create space for a miracle. I can't tell you how many times people pray and believe God and are not bold enough to create space for a miracle. And they walk away from a miracle. Somebody shout hallelujah. Here's a tweet. If you don't take a chance on God, you will never know the miracle that was waiting for you. When I came out of the green room in the Agnes Arena, I was in the green room dressing up, getting ready to go for that night of worship. And I walked out on the stage and I saw 8,000 people. I began to weep because for the first time it hit me, what if I had not believed God? What if I had not given my last $10,000 and that night 400 people gave their lives to Jesus? And after that, we saw 60,000 people united, Boston and New Hampshire, Connecticut, all the way to Portland, Maine, all the way to Vermont, because we created space for a miracle. This is how you work a miracle. Faith is not just naming it and claiming it. I'm going to have this. I'm going to have this. I'm going to have. You can do that until you're purple in the face and nothing will happen. Faith is to dare to create a space for a miracle. Hallelujah. You can stand if you can. You can stand if you can. I just gave you a recipe. That's how I pray for people who are sick as a healing evangelist. You pray. And then you lift that person from that wheelchair and you let go. What if they fall? No, let go. You put God on the spot enough and he'll release that miracle in the name of Jesus. You know what I loved about Femi and his wife? Here's one thing they didn't even share in their story. Is that years later, they went and bought a house. And they bought a big house. And they had David's bedroom there before he was even born. I hear the voice of God saying, there's somebody in this place. Ah, Jesus, you have a son that's in jail. And I hear the voice of God saying, when you go home, go into that bedroom, make the bed, decorate that room, create space for a miracle. That son is coming back home in Jesus' name. I felt that. I feel that. Son is coming back home. There are people in this place, you're going to go to the bank and begin to ask for that loan and God's going to give it to you. There are people in this place, you're going to call that school this week and ask for them to get you into that program because you're creating space for a miracle in the name of Jesus. Come on, somebody celebrate what God is doing. Come on, do something. Do something. What do you have? Do you have a little stick like Moses? Do you have a little oil? Create space for a miracle and God is going to come. Come on, do you want to buy a house? Go and check out that house and walk in there like you have $1 billion and go and say, I want this place. Go and check out that building. Come on, go and own that place because you're creating space for a miracle. Somebody shout hallelujah. Come on, there's faith in this house. There's faith in this house. Come on, there's faith in this place. Somebody in this place, you're going to take the pen and the paper this week and you're going to write an entire outline of that book that God has put inside of you. In Jesus' name. Every eye closed. Every eye closed. You can't leave a place like this without saying yes to Jesus. Can't live a place like this without saying yes to Jesus. I'm going to count 1, 2, 3. We never like to close our services without giving anybody an opportunity to say yes to Jesus. Create space for a miracle in your heart. It's time to take the things of God seriously. Make a decision. I'll show up at church every day, every Sunday, and I'll create room for God to move in my life and in my family in Jesus. Now, I'm going to count 1, 2, 3, and if you don't know Jesus yet, if you've not given him your life, I want you to throw your hands up and say yes to God. 1, 2, 3, here we go. Hands. Thank you for those hands. Hands in the air. Thank you for those hands all over the place. Thank you for those hands. Now together, everybody, I want you to say, Lord Jesus, I give you my life. I say yes to you. Jesus, I declare that you're the Son of God. Come on, real big. Say, Jesus, I declare that you died and rose again. Today I receive you in my life. I'm yours forever. Amen. Oh, come on, let's put our hands together. I see those tears. God is moving, is touching somebody. This is the first day to the rest of your life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Impact, I want you to sit again for a little while. Impact, we are practicing what we preach. We're going to 2 services next week. You know why? You know why? We're creating space for a miracle. We're creating space for God to come and draw his people into this place. Impact, you're going to see lives that are going to come in this place. People who are going to get healed. Souls that will be saved. Because together we created space for a miracle. Somebody shout amen. You know, an average church in America still only has 80 people. Look at this place. We average about 400 people a Sunday. That's a miracle. People that are being saved and healed and delivered. 20 lives that got saved last week. But Impact Church, are we content with just reaching 400 people only? Are we saying to all the other people in Medford and some of you in the areas that have not given their lives to Jesus yet, are we saying to them, forget about you? It's Impact, we're going to create more space for a miracle. What we do here is like rescuing people from a flood zone. If you had a bus that seat 400 people and there's a flood somewhere and you had a chance to rescue people, would you only go once and leave the rest of the people to die? If you're like me, you'd go back there as many times as possible and rescue every life. That's what we're doing, Impact. This is a 400-seat bus in a flood zone. And we're opening space for somebody else who hasn't come here yet to find Jesus. Opening up space for your mother, for your father, for your auntie, for your uncle, for your son, for your daughter to come and find salvation. So Impact, would you step out in faith with us? Would you step out in faith with your pastor, Impact? Hallelujah. Would you serve? Would you continue to give? Thank you for your generous giving. Amen. Do we have a vote in this house to go to 2 services? I'm glad you did. If I didn't have a vote, we would go anywhere because God said so. But I'm glad we have your vote. Somebody say amen. So the first service is going to be at 10 a.m. Somebody shout 10 a.m. Second service is going to be at 11:30. Now, I want to see the people who are mature believers commit to coming to that 10 a.m. service. Because you know Jesus. You love God. You've been in church for a long time. You used to going up, waking up early and going to church, right? And so I want us to open up that 11:30 service to the people that are new believers. Open up the space for them. So in this room today, I want to see with a show of hands. Look at this room packed. This room is packed today. I want to see with a show of hands. I want to get at least half of the people in this room, 200 people in this room who can commit to that 10 a.m. service. That's how that service is going to succeed. If you show up, then we can carry that service. I want to see a group of people in here who can say, I am going to commit to carrying that 10 a.m. service so that it's successful. So you don't have to shut it down so that it's successful. I'm going to commit to that 10 a.m. service. And by the way, before you even put your hand up, by the way, that 10 a.m. service only runs for an hour. So somebody's coming. You can get out of this place at 11 a.m. You can be at the beach by 11:15. All right. Hallelujah. And if you've got some people who don't know Jesus yet, invite them to that service. People who are coming from Catholic backgrounds, tell them we have Mass at 10 a.m. and it runs for an hour. Amen. Invite somebody so lives can be saved in this place. Pastor, why are you doing this? We're creating space for a miracle. Now, if there's somebody in this place who doesn't have the faith that this is going to happen, I want you to use my faith. Because I see people in this place. I see them by name. I see them coming into this place, getting saved and being healed. But we're going to do it together, Impact. So here we go. I'm going to count 1, 2, 3. Edra, you got to help me with a little crashing here. Help me with a little music. And I want to see 200 people in this place that can say, Pastor, I'm going to commit to coming to this 10 a.m. service so it can be successful. And please make a commitment and be real Christians who are going to follow through with your commitment. Amen. Right? Follow through. Here we go. 1, 2. God, I speak to the hearts of people. Speak to the hearts of people that can hold up this service in Jesus' name. 1, 2, 3. Hands in the air. Woo! Hallelujah. Hey, let's celebrate. We have 200 people in this place that have committed. Hallelujah. Please stand, Impact. Please stand. Hallelujah. Now, Impact Church, this is the last time we're having one service. Come on, somebody, what about a shout for the Lord? Hallelujah! Amen! Now, Impact, let's celebrate all the lives that are coming to get saved next Sunday. Come on, we're going to shout before we even see them. Hallelujah!